Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everyone. It's Dueling Tangents time. Hooray, hooray for you. Hooray, hooray for me. Hooray for school. Hooray for everybody. I'm Brian. That over there is not Luke. It's Evan. It's Luke Evan Day again. We are here together all at once. We're going to be talking about a bunch of things today here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got a lot of things to get to, but first, we're going to tell you where we're coming in on. With the southern swath of Wisconsin, over here in Waukesha, I'm at 540 AM. That is WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. Over there, Evan is broadcasting out of the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison, right on University Avenue there. Pretty awesome place. Check it out if you can. 1580 AM, that's WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM. That's Devil Radio. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app. You can check us out on Facebook right now. I just went live. Hooray for us on Facebook. Hooray for you if you want to check it out on the Facebook page. You can see me in my my dill green shirt. I wore my dill green shirt because it's absorbent. I'm a large, sweaty man. And got a lot of things to sweat out sometimes. I have to drink a lot of water. Folks, make sure you drink a lot of water today because just going to your car, you're going to pretty much dehydrate yourself, and it's not going to go anywhere. You're in a sauna right now. You're in a we're breathing sauna, and it's thick air. So keep an eye on your thick friends. So because my goodness, we are not having a great time, but we move on. I woke up at 5 this morning like, I don't feel comfortable. I need air moving around right now. Stagnancy is not working for this kid. So I'm in a little bit of a daze. Plus, I also made a nice little trip to Madison. If you're listening to me on 92.7 FM, had a little issue with the storm yesterday and resolved that this morning. You can listen to the bright and wonderful signal right now. The storm was awesome. Yesterday, I had to leave the Devil's Advocates a little bit early. My daughter decided to horse around on a floor scooter and bust her head open. Got herself a couple of what would have been a couple of stitches, but they did a hair tourniquet with glue instead. But either way, she gashed her head open. And luckily, I came there because they were two hungry ladies who were near panic. So I had to run yesterday, but I happened to drive out in the middle of the hailstorm. I couldn't see more than 20 feet in front of me, and on 94 I was going 30 miles an hour and thinking, what am I doing going 30? It was ridiculous yesterday. And then it's gonna, I hate to say that this is a freak storm, but this is the kind of thing you might want to get used to, folks, because I think these things are going to happen more frequently. The volatility of the climate of the world is a little bit different. I don't know if you noticed it, but our seasons are not really changing as much as they're like winter, and now it's summer, and then it's like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Here we go. Volatility is not a good thing as far as weather goes. It does not help anybody. It does not help the growth of the of anything, really, and really kind of screws everything up. So hopefully we can do things to curb that, right? Right, Evan? We're going to do that?
Hopefully.
I believe in us. I don't actually believe in us. And here's why. Today, I want to talk about crime. We're going to have, today is Law and Order Day on Dueling Tangents. We're going to talk about what crime is, how crime is kind of a construct for us all, and what we actually mean to do about it, and what, you know, what crime is and what the actual narrative on crime is versus what the actual reality is. Because, you know, right now, oh my goodness, they're going to be running on, it's an election year, crime must be up, right? Crime is everywhere. Crime is horrible. And yeah, actually, crime is kind of up around the board. but it's up all over the board. Could you tell me why? Could it possibly be, I don't know, a bunch of economic issues, maybe a whole economic inequality plus inflation plus corporate greed, a little bit of giant pandemic and trauma and things like that. People have kind of had it at this point. It's ridiculous. And I want to start with a little think piece. I subscribe to the Cup of Coffee podcast, or the Cup of Coffee newsletter, by Craig Calcaterra. He's a baseball news writer, but he's also a former lawyer and an actual journalist. So all of the things he writes about, he cites, and I have the cited article as well, which we're going to get to. But he writes a couple, he writes stuff about baseball, and then at the end he kind of writes a little think pieces every now and then. I think he's just getting paid too much to write baseball, so he just adds on a little bit more because he likes to write a lot. So I want to bring some of his words to you. This is Craig Calcaterra, a little bit about when it comes to crime, feelings rule. There's a strong narrative out there, which had been building for some time, but which seems poised to truly take over the next several months of political discourse, which is the biggest problem in America is crime. The notion that it is out of control, that it's taking over our cities, and that addressing it should stand head and shoulders above every other priority out there. The most important part of this narrative, politically speaking, is the notion that it's a democratic problem, that liberals and progressives have caused this alleged crime epidemic, and that only repudiation of their agenda and candidates will solve it. There's no surprise that Republicans are pushing that because Republicans blame every bad thing that happens on Democrats. What is every bit as predictable, however, is what is so disappointing, is that a great many Democratic candidates have accepted this frame and have chosen to campaign with tough-on-crime messages in order to try and outrun it. It's not the first time and will not be the last time that Democrats fight battles on Republicans' terms. Maybe one day it will actually work, but I kind of doubt it. Democrats will absolutely never learn when it comes to this kind of stuff. Maybe I'd feel differently about this if this was a problem born of Democratic policies and missteps, but there's no evidence for that. Not that you'd know it by reading any newspaper. Yes, the violent crime rate, particularly the murder rate, has spiked in the last couple years. But this is not some problem unique to cities and states that are ruled by Democrats. Indeed, the increase in crime has happened basically everywhere. 8 out of the 10 states with the highest murder rates voted for Donald Trump in 2020. The murder rate is in the 25 states that went for Trump is, on average, 40% higher than that of states that voted for Joe Biden. I'm going to go back and reread those two sentences again. 8 out of the 10 states with the highest murder rates voted for Donald Trump in 2020. The murder rate in 25 states that went for Trump is, on average, 40% higher than that of states that voted for Joe Biden. When you boil it down to cities, sure, you'll see a lot of Democratic-led places with increased violent crime rates. But there's nothing specific about Democratic policies as opposed to the realities of urban existence that causes that to be the case. Once again, I just want to remind everybody, I'm reading from Craig Calcaterra's piece in his newsletter. He's got a daily newsletter called the Cup of Coffee Podcast. Or the Cup of Coffee newsletter. I'm sorry. I don't know why I put I feel like I put podcasts at the end of everything. Everybody, hey, welcome to the Dueling Tangents podcast, which is going live right now, which will be a podcast later. Sometimes if you're listening to it, not now, which might be now for you, but it's now for us. Oh, now I've gone down a tangent. We don't know where we are. Anyway, we are continuing to read from Craig Calcaterra in his piece talking about crime. As Paul Waldman of the Washington Post noted the other day, this is about a week ago or so, there were 131 murders in Jacksonville, Florida in 2019, with that figure rising to 144 in 2020, after which it fell to 109 in 2021. In Fort Worth, Texas, there were 71 murders in 2019, 115 in 2020, and 118 in 2021. These were historic highs. These cities have roughly the same population as San Francisco, but San Francisco had 41 murders in 2019, 48 in 2020, and 56 in 2021. Jacksonville and Fort Worth both have Republican mayors and Republican chief prosecutors, and they have received zero national attention. And Republicans there have not been called out as failed leaders with failed policies, which have led to crime spikes. San Francisco has, however. That city is dominated by Democrats, however. Not to say that violent crime is not, in fact, a problem. Of course it is. I'd argue, however, that it's not a problem primarily or even secondarily or tertiarily born of city-level criminal justice policies or initiatives. Rather, I'd argue that it's a function of a larger societal breakdown spurred on by national and state tax cuts, program cuts, and austerity measures, all of which were exacerbated at warp speed by the pandemic. People are desperate. Stress is at an all-time high. Resources available to help the desperate are harder to find than they ever have been. Oh, and the nation has been utterly flooded with guns and the removal of restrictions on their ownership and use. You don't need to be a genius to do that math. By the way, resources available to help the desperate are harder to find than they ever have been. Yeah, recent studies said that pretty much the people who weren't allowed or were denied UI benefits or were delayed the most were minorities. Just a side note there, reading on in Craig Calcaterra's piece here in his Cup of Coffee newsletter. It's not just the violent crime rate that is fueling this growing political narrative, of course. Property crimes have not spiked anywhere near the way murder rates have, but they have gotten outsized media coverage in the past year or so. Homelessness, which is not a crime, at least not yet, is often spoken of hand in hand with actual crime in this political narrative. As is the case with violent crime rates, I think there's a much stronger case to be made that those things are the products of our nation's profound housing crisis and our Gilded Age levels of income inequality than they are Democrats' policies and rhetoric when it comes to arresting, prosecuting, and sentencing people. To the extent of which those things have become problems, it is because of conservative policies and conservatives' refusal to acknowledge them in a genuine, as opposed to an opportunistic way, let alone effectively address them. Yet again, it's Democrats who are called to answer for all of this. And then, I gotta tell you, man, we all buy into it. Oh, yeah, crime, man, we gotta figure it out, man. And honestly, the numbers bear out. It's the poorest states that have the most crime, and I should be able to tell you that because pretty much if you put a map of poverty over a map of violent crime, bingo, it's the same. Same for almost everything else, too. The war on poverty is a war on all of it. If you want to make our society better, if you want to make things better, if you want to make all of us better, you might want to fight poverty. Start there. I think we should ask, you know, what are you going to do to fight poverty? Not give a leg up or anything like that. How are you going to continue to fight poverty? How are you going to make sure it's gone? Come back with me, 844-967-2789. It's Dueling Tangents. I'm Brian. Luke's gone for the week.